This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. You say, today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Let's greet each other. Greetings, hugs and kisses. We've still got a few seats if you'd like to sit at our First Baptist table, see them in the lobby. And then tonight we're starting both our ladies and men's Bible studies, actually this afternoon, 4:45. And so I'd like to invite you to sign up for that and be a part of that with us as well. And we'll have a wonderful time of fellowship, interaction. It is discussion, and for you to be able to connect with others in relationship to our two studies. And I personally, Kim and I want to thank you for your prayers for my sister Elizabeth. Many of you are aware that she was an IMB missionary in Ivory Coast, Africa for years, and has married a South African Portuguese man. He's from Portugal originally, and Jose. And so she's there, and she went into renal failure seriously about a week and a half ago, had been struggling for several months, and they took her to emergency to Langebaan, put her on a drip, but not a lot of care. They have socialized medicine there, and so there's not high priorities in the government hospitals. So she's in a government hospital, so we had her moved to Summerlin, there near Cape Town, and they took her off the drip, weren't providing anything. She went over 36 hours without water, without food, as she was waiting in their urgent area, what we would call emergency. So then we got her moved to Groot Schuur Hospital. That's English pronunciation. Afrikaans, I can't begin to do. And again, not much care. And she doesn't have insurance, and so we were talking about either moving her to a private hospital or bringing her back to the States and needing dialysis, at least initially, to kind of clean her out. And so we started putting it on social media, on Facebook, and there started to be a networking occurring, like, globally. And there's thousands of people now that are interested and involved in it. We put out an emergency for people in around Cape Town, Africa, to come, and she's got lines of people showing up to visit her now. And so they really know there's a lot of accountability there. And so they put her on too many dialysis because her capillaries were almost collapsing from dehydration and other things. We talked to her on the phone, not real responsive, lethargic. And so the last two, a female doctor came in, took charge of her. Groot Schuur is the largest hospital in Africa. It's a teaching hospital. The hospital itself is a good hospital. And so they did too many dialysis on her the last 2 days. And I called her on the way in to church, and she was my old sister again. She was responsive. She was sharp. She said, "Daryl, thank you so much. You and Shay and Kim, y'all put me on social media. I was drawing pictures out of everywhere I could find and popping one on to keep her in front of people. If you're near Cape Town, know anyone near Cape Town, go see Elizabeth, Sissy, my sister." And they started piling in. They're bringing her vegetables and fruit and soups. And then we weren't getting any medical information because until this doctor took over 2 days ago, there was a ream of interns. Every day she had a different intern. They didn't know anything. What medicine am I on? I don't know. Not any. And what care? What's wrong with me? Don't know. Not any. So this doctor took over. And I was talking about 5 or 6 days ago. This is information for you to know in your future as well. I was talking to on a group talk. There were about six of us on the phone call. And I said, the power, the geometric progression of social media, for all we know, the president of the hospital knows about Elizabeth now and Sissy. So here we have a South African family in our church. And they called, and they have our lady from our family has a sister who's a nurse from Cape Town area, and she was in Iraq doing military medicine with a doctor who's the best friend of the president of Grootscher Hospital. And so our member's talking to her sister, she's talking to this doctor talking to the president of the hospital, and you never know. And we just want to thank Jesus, his goodness, his grace, and what's going on in your prayers. God is really, really responding to your prayers, and we thank God for it. And talking to Sissy, she was old Sissy again. And so if you look on Facebook, there's pictures of her with Dad with a fish, and everything I could find, I was throwing them on there, to get people to be aware of her and to lock into it. And it's exciting. We praise God for what's going on. Drastic improvement for my sister. And thank you again. Praise the Lord for that. If you're our guest today, we'd like to invite you to tear off the little, this is old school. We'll eventually get something on the screen you can hit with your phone, but not yet. So if you'll fill this out, place it in the offering plate, it'll help us connect to you, and we can put you into our information, our texts, and so forth, and get information to you. I want to encourage you to take part in our life groups. We had a wonderful discussion today about worship, and it was tremendous. And I'll use an illustration from that later in the message. Men's prayer breakfast, Monday, March 3rd. I want to encourage our men to take part in that at Berry Fresh and at 8 o'clock. We'd love to have you. Some other things in here, Wednesday nights, if you'd like to come for our proverb study. We're having pizza and a proverb. And then the CareNet, I'd like to encourage as many of you as can go. These are really dynamic dinners, and there's no charge. It's strictly an offering, whatever you want to do, and to help CareNet. But great speakers. They're having record attendance. They're having to have two nights now. Last year, they asked me to pray for one of their meetings, and they took up a record offering that night. They took up, they received like $65,000 that night, and they were praising the Lord for that. So I want to encourage you to come and take part in this. It's a real blessing, and again, privileged to be your pastor. Thanks.
Let us pray. Come, Jesus, come. What a great words. Lord, we thank you for the honor and the ability to come and worship you today. Lord, we just ask that you would lay your healing hands on this whole congregation. Lord, everybody that needs your touch, Lord, we just ask that you would bless these tithes and offerings and the givers. Lord, we just ask you to guide us and lead us through this day. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, today we're looking at the goodness of God and the goodness in our lives and God's desire for us to express goodness. When we think about the goodness of God, A lot of times we might create our image of God and whether he's good or not, and we make it conditional. God is good if he keeps me healthy. God is good if he gives me the money I need to take care of my bills and to take care of retirement and all of these other things, and that God's goodness is expressed in how he does for me and mine and how he takes care of us. And when we think about the goodness of God, it's not conditioned on our individual circumstances. It's not conditioned on the things that sweep around us personally. God's goodness emanates from his character. His goodness is a natural expression of who he is. And his goodness extends to the entire earth. He's giving sunlight and breath and heartbeats to 7.5 to 8 billion people all over the face of the earth right now simultaneously. He's giving oxygen. He's giving food. He's giving water. And he's looking after us and providing for us. And it's not measured on whether this one gets this much and this one gets that much. And so if you got a lot, God's good. And if you don't get a lot and you've gotten just a little, God's not good. It's not like that. The goodness of God is an expression of how he desires to show himself to us. And in the Psalms, in Psalm 118:1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." And so when we look at God and the expression of God in our lives, God is good, and the Bible says that. And I like this. In fact, we're going to say this several times after each point through the message today. God is good all the time. Let's try it again. Some of you, how many of you is the first time you've ever said that? Not many. Okay. God is good all the time. Okay, so when we look at this and we look at the fruit of the Spirit, he tells us that in our lives that we are to express these different aspects of the personality of God, and it is the singular fruit. It's all of it together in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And of course, there wouldn't be any law against the expression of all of these aspects of goodness and kindness and mercy and grace and this righteous, upright living. It's been interesting for me, and kind of a recent cognizant observation, the idea of upright. To live an upright life. God wants us to live an upright life. And an upright life is a life where you're standing up straight, your head's held back, your eyes are focused, and you're living that kind of life, the upright life. Today in our life groups, it was talking about those who are slinking into churches all over the world because of a guilty conscience. They don't want anybody to see them, talk to them. They have trouble singing. They probably had trouble even coming because of their guilty conscience. And God wants us to live an upright life. He wants us to live a life where we can come in anticipating the worship of God, anticipating the goodness of God, and coming in with this expression in our hearts and lives. And so we see in Psalm 118, verse 1, it talking about God is good. Now, Psalm 106 and 107 both start in their first verses with the exact same formula relating to God and God's goodness in our lives. Now, I put a verse at the top of our notes if you want to look at that with me. And first of all, there's a definition of goodness, God's personality reflected in active kindness, generosity, and empathy to others. Now let's read Galatians 6, 9 through 10 at the top of your notes together. 1, 2, 3. Let us not... Here we see the idea of goodness and the idea that you and I are to be living a stream. As we live our life this week and we participate in all the activities, there's to be a stream of goodness following us. And so today in our life group lesson, one of the passages talked about, and it's one of my favorite passages to share to people when I'm on visitation, where he says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." And we could say in South Florida, as the manner of a lot is. A lot, you know, got to go to the boat. I got to go to the golf course. I got to go to the beach. You know, I got to enjoy this beautiful weather. I worship God out there. Yeah, right. And so if you keep doing that and you go to the hospital, who's going to come visit you? The lifeguard from the beach? I don't think so. You know, and so he tells that, and then right above that, he says, you and I are to provoke each other to good works. Now, provoke usually is like poking the bear with a stick, you know. It's not something you want to do. When Kim and I were on we stayed over after one of our mission trips to Montana, to Yellowstone, with the kids, and we saw a herd of buffalo, bison. And people were getting out of their cars, and the rangers there were saying, get back in your cars. And they said, well, we want to pet them, you know. And they said, last week, a guy from France got out. We didn't know it. We weren't around. He went to pet one. It hooked a horn in his chest and threw him in a tree and killed him. So we think of that as provoking. You don't want to provoke the buffalo. You don't want to provoke the bear. But he says, we do want to provoke each other to good works. So today and in my life group, and I want to do this with you now, I tried to provoke the members of our life group, and I said, I want to go around the room, and I want you to share one thing you're going to do good this week, something, and maybe something new. And we had some interesting responses. One of the members of our class said, well, I buy these little Panera gift cards, and when I see law enforcement officers, I go and give them one, $10 gift cards, and say, thank you for protecting us. I said, that is a great idea. I'm going to start doing that. And then another one said, I've got a guy that's kind of out of work, and he's a neighbor, and he doesn't have a vehicle, and he's coming to my house, and the Lord's laid on my heart to pay him double what I was going to give him just to help him to get toward a vehicle. That's another great thing. So we had several things. And I told them what I always do. I'm going to witness to somebody. Well, that's nothing new for me. I mean, I do that all the time anyway. But then I said, I also am going to look for a homeless person and either buy them a meal or give them, you know, a meal and take care of one this week somewhere, somehow. And so I want you right now, if you're sitting with husband or wife, children, somebody, maybe just a friend, I want you each to turn to one person, and I want you to tell them one good thing that you're going to do this week. Now you say, I'm sitting by myself. Well, slide over towards somebody. And that might be your good deed, is just to get close to somebody. But anyway, okay, let's do that. Do that. And when you've done it, raise your hand so we'll know when we're done. It's not a time of fellowship. Just tell them what you're going to do. Okay. So I want to hold you to it. You've told somebody you're accountable now, and that you're going to do this good thing for somebody, somewhere, somehow, and do something good. And so we see here this idea that we will reap if we faint not. So we don't get discouraged. Now, if you come up to Saturday morning and you say, oh my gosh, I didn't do my good deed, you better jump out of the house and go do one. And go do a good deed and go do some good action. It could be a phone call to encourage somebody. It could be something that's good. So first of all, let's look at a few points. God promises to reward our perseverance in doing good. That's in our verse we just read, that he will reward us if we don't give up. He will reward us if we don't get discouraged in doing good things. Sometimes we can say, evil's winning. Bad things are happening. We're really falling behind. But don't give up. Keep going. Keep doing. Keep doing good things. Then we see also that God specifically encourages us to do good to other believers. Specifically to make that a direction of your goodness toward brothers and sisters in Christ. You and I are eternal people. We're going to live forever and ever in heaven. Every person in this room or watching or listening who is born of God and dwelt by Christ, we're going to be eternally together forever and ever. We won't be husband and wife, son and daughter, any of those things, mother and dad. We're going to be brother and sister in Christ, all of us, for eternity, and we're eternal beings. We had the opportunity, some of you are aware, Kim and I got away to go see the grandkids, and Josh and Shay are taking our four beautiful grandchildren to Malaysia for 2 or 3 years to win Muslims to Christ. And we're praying for that. In fact, they're going to be coming and sharing with y'all. We're going to have them come. Shay grew up in this church. Josh was our youth pastor for several years. And they're going to be coming to share with us soon about what they're going to be doing. Well, we had the opportunity. We rented a little Urbo house or whatever you call them. Uber. No. But a little house and... We had the girls come over one night, the granddaughters, the next night the grandsons. So when we had the grandsons come over, little Gabe, kind of a golden child, Gabe loves Monopoly so much, I gave him some money for Christmas, and he's carefully spent his money on the anniversary edition of the 75-year anniversary edition of Monopoly. He loves Monopoly. And the kid, how old is he, Kim? 11? 10. He's 10 years old and he's a tycoon already. And so lately, every time he plays Monopoly, he wipes up everybody. And usually I'm pretty good at it, but he destroyed Kim and I. And so what's interesting though about goodness is I have never ever, we grew up playing Monopoly, the Ormonds, my brother, my sister, father, and I, all the time. And I've never played in my whole life with anyone like Gabe because of his goodness, I thought. So we got to the point, Kim and I looked at each other, and I had all three railroads, which that's 200 rent, which is nothing once you get near the end of the game. Gabe had almost the entire board covered with hotels. We were dropping in on Boardwalk and all these other things, and we were paying him $1,500 rent every whack, wiping us out over and over again. Well, Gabe started feeling sorry for us. He started using his money to buy us houses for our Monopoly places. Here, let me give you and Prammy some houses, $150 each. Have three houses each. And then he said, y'all can go all the way around the board once and not pay me any rent. And I said, I have never played with anyone like this, doing this goodness, this generosity. You land in jail, $50 to get out. Here's your $50, I'll pay it. And he just, he had a stack of 500s. I mean, the guy was Elon Musk, and so... I'm just watching this, and Kim could not. Kim said, "This will never end if we don't pay you the penalties and the rent and all that." So it wiped her out, and Gabe got up crying and went over and hugged her. I'm so sorry that I knocked you out. And I looked and I said, well, I'm not. You know, I still want to beat you, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. And so finally it got to a point I had to concede. I said, there's no way I can catch you. I mean, you practically own the entire board. And I'm talking to Shay, and Shay said, Dad, he did that to us the last time we played. But what he's doing is he loves the game so much that he doesn't want y'all to quit. That's why he keeps financing you and buying you houses and don't have to pay rent. And I said, wow. You know, but it's also the goodness of his heart. He's just a sweet boy. And God wants us to have that kind of goodness. And I thought, I need to learn generosity from Gabe. You know, it's amazing the goodness of God and the way he will provide for us. And to me, that became an illustration, a living illustration, you know, a parable, the parable of Gabe and Monopoly. And we see this idea of God promises to reward us, and he encourages us when we do good for other believers. One of my joys when we've had Life Action, the several reams of Life Action through the years when they've come to our church, is we're meeting every night, and we had one of the Life Action crusades that went for 3 weeks, and we were meeting, and we're off one or two nights a week, but it's five nights a week, and everybody couldn't wait to get here. Is in the action time, the do good for each other time, I saw some of our members get up and go give money to people for their rent. I saw a person get up and go give a car to a single mom in our church that didn't have a vehicle, a working vehicle. And I saw these things that were just like the book of Acts, that were goodness in action, the goodness of God, the goodness of believers toward each other. Number three, God provides our good. Well, let's do this on this point. God is good all the time. Okay. Number three, God provides our goodness throughout our life, our entire life. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Little boy in Sunday school was talking to the teacher, raised his hand, asked a question. Teacher, who is Miss Percy? And she said, Miss Percy? Yeah, God promises that Miss Percy is going to follow me all the days of my life. No. Not Miss Percy. Mercy. And so we see here that the goodness of God will follow us all the days of our life. And we see that God is good all the time. Psalm 145, 9. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. Mercy. Justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is God granting us what we don't deserve. Mercy. Years ago, I was on a mission trip. I was pulled over by a highway patrolman in Montana. They used to not have speed limits. And I was on a second trip, and I was doing close to 100 on a highway that had nothing on it for miles. And you could see till it disappeared straight in front of you. And I was doing about 100. I looked back, and 3 miles behind me, I saw lights. I go, what in the world? Pulls me over. And he said, I guess you knew what you were doing. I said, well, officer, I was doing about 100, but y'all don't have a speed limit. He said, we just changed that. I go, oh my gosh, I didn't know. I'm a Southern Baptist pastor. I hit him with everything I had. We're late to meet a mission pastor. We're going to help. And so I said, would you extend mercy to me? He said, you don't deserve it. And I said, mercy's not deserved mercies granted. He said, you're right. And he said, Pastor, you're a blessed man. And I said, why am I a blessed man? I know I am. Why do you know that I am? He said, in all of Montana, there is only one Southern Baptist highway patrolman, and it's me. He said, I will grant your mercy. Thank you, thank you. He said, don't speed anymore. We've got a speed limit now. Okay. Well, would you give us an escort so we can get to this mission, Pastor? The guys in the deacons in the car with me are punching me. Shut up, shut up. And he said, no, I will not give you an escort. Do not speed. Yes, sir, yes, sir. And we left. Mercy, God's mercy, his goodness shall follow us all the days of our life. Number four, God gives us goodness as a tool to overcome evil. God is good all the time. Romans 12:21. In Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As soon as we think about retribution, as soon as we think about getting even, as soon as we think about they did this to me, I have the right to do this to them, we start tightening up spiritually. As soon as we start thinking about getting even, it grieves our spirit. It quenches God's spirit. Because God says, I do not want you to return evil for evil. You know, it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth will make the whole world blind. And so the idea is that God says, no, I don't want you to overcome evil with evil. I want you to come overcome evil with good. My son-in-law was playing basketball. He loves to play basketball in the Y in Anderson. And he had blocked a shot from one of the other guys. And the guy got mad about it. He's got an anger problem. He's dribbling down. The other guy's dribbling down the court. Josh runs to defend him. And the guy drops the ball, turns around, and hits Josh full blast and knocks him backwards, knocks him out. He hits the floor with his mouth bleeding. And Gabe and Cohen, our grandsons, are there screaming and thinking their dad is dead. And this happened several months ago. Some of you are aware of it, been praying for it. Praying for it. And God has healed Josh, working on it, has spared him. It could have killed him. And this guy has done that before. He's knocked another guy out playing basketball. And they said, you really need to press charges for his sake because he's going to kill somebody eventually. And so they went through that, but Josh set up a meeting with this guy, and they both go to the same mega church. They have the same pastor, the other guy and Josh. And so Josh set up a meeting with the pastor and the other guy this past week to tell him that he forgives him. To tell him, I forgive you for poleaxing me. That's what God's talking about, and that released Josh from that whole scenario. I've had members before tell me I'm in this lawsuit and it's tearing my family apart. We might win some money, this or that or something else, but it's killing us. And there's times I've just said, why don't you just forgive them and go on with your life? And we see here that he talks about this idea of us overcoming evil with good. Goodness is our tool to overcome evil. Number five, God wants us to extend goodness to our adversaries. In Luke 6:35, Scripture tells us this. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. There's been great heretics that have said, there is no God. God, if you're there, strike me dead. And then they'll stand there and say, He didn't do it, so He must not be there. And Almighty God, omniscient God, seated on His throne, is having this ant on earth shake its fist at Him. And He's saying, I'll give you breath, I'll give you heartbeat anyway, whether you acknowledge me or not. We're living in a world now. How did we get here? Aliens put us here. Give me a break. Aliens put us here. And God's saying, you are so foolish. I put you there. I created you. With intelligent design, I created everything. And the complexity of your body, I did that. My signature is in your DNA. And yet, He is loving and kind and patient. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is the goodness of God, the love of God expressed. God is good all the time. Goodness is also linked to our knowledge, our faith and knowledge. In 2 Peter 1:5, the scriptures tell us this. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence to your faith, supply goodness or moral excellence, and in your goodness, knowledge, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. Goodness is linked to faith and knowledge in our life. When we're good and we're upright and we're living that kind of life, then our faith increases. I'll tell you right now, calling my sister this morning, my faith shot right through the roof. I teared up when she answered the phone. She said, hey, Daryl, good to hear from you. And I go, wow. She was struggling to put three words together for the last couple of weeks. And she, you know, I saw the pictures on Facebook. Praise the Lord, you know. And I just, our faith increases with goodness. When you're good to people, I saw in my son-in-law, goodness increasing in him because he extended with his faith forgiveness to this adversary. And we see that God desires for us our goodness to be linked to faith and knowledge. The more we know of Scripture, the more we can understand the goodness of God. Now, there's some believers among us that will say, I'm all about Jesus. I don't care about doctrine. That is so foolish. Everything we know about Jesus is doctrine from Scripture. Everything that we understand about God, the intricacies of God and His nature, like we're doing now, looking at all these attributes of God as He wants us to have those replicated in our lives, that's doctrine. All these weeks, these studies on these different attributes, doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Knowledge, biblical knowledge of God. And He says this can help us persevere. We see that He said, and this was in our life group again, today, to hold to our confessions. That's doctrine. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, drawn up into heaven, resurrected from the dead. Doctrine. Confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Confession. And so we see here that our goodness is linked to our faith and it's linked to our knowledge. God is good all the time. God is good. Then we see next that finally God has created us to do good. We've been created to do good. We've been recreated through the rebirth, being born again to do good. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He created us for good works, and he wants us to walk in them. And like the illustration earlier, where this week there's a stream of good works following us as we go. And what a great thing it would be for there, you walk through an office area with your workmates, and they, you walk by and they whisper, that person, you know, he or she, they're good. They're good. They're good to us. You know, your neighbors, when they talk about you, they don't say what a scoundrel you are and how loud and critical you are and, you know, parking in their yard and whatever you're doing. But instead, they're saying, what a great neighbor I've got. What a good neighbor. What a good person they are. That they're good to us. And there's goodness flowing out of their lives. And we want that to follow us. We want that to be a part of our lives. And all of it is an expression of the goodness of God. When we're like that and people acknowledge it, we should be giving God the praise. I just want you to know I'm not good on my own. In fact, before Jesus, I was good for nothing. But now, I try to be good for everything. I like the saying is talking about pastors and deacons. And it said, pastors are paid to be good and deacons are good for nothing. And so we see that we're to be good. We're to be good and express goodness in our lives. I want to ask if you would bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to ask you right now, do you have the goodness of God flowing in your life? Do you have that supernatural resource? Or are you struggling to be good? God wants to replicate his goodness in your life. But you have to receive him. You have to accept him. You have to have him living in your life. And that's because of repentance, to change our minds about our own goodness and say, I need God's goodness. I need God's personality in my life. And I'd like to invite you right now, if that's your condition and you need the goodness of God, you need the mercy of God, you need the forgiveness of God, I'd like to invite you right now to just say, Almighty God, please cleanse me and fill me and take control of me. Forgive my sins and fill me with your personality, with your goodness, and live through me. I yield my life to you, and I want the righteousness of your Son to count for me. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to extend our invitation now and want to ask you to do business with God this morning. And again, maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart about a prayer request you have, or maybe you have a confession to make, or maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, as we had a baptism last week. And maybe there's some of the, maybe the Lord wants you to be a part of, officially a part of this fellowship, our body, our flock. And so however God's speaking to your heart, he'll speak to you a still small voice. He'll tell you to do something. Earlier we had the young boy running around from his mother, and the Lord told me to go down and catch him. He told me to, and I said, are you sure? And then, go get him. So went and caught him, you know. And I obeyed the Lord, and we want you to obey the Lord. We want you to do what he tells you to do. Let's stand together and sing and you come. Please be seated. Mark Hennebach's one of our deacons, our Awana commander, and he has a wonderful testimony he wants to share with you. And dismiss us in prayer.
I will. And Pastor Ehrman, I want to thank you that you led the congregation in prayer for me a couple of weeks ago. And I wanted you all to know the outcome of that. I've had AFib for some 9 years now, and I had a stress test last month that suggested that there was blockage. And I was going to have a CAT scan for that, according to my cardiologist. And when I recently had symptoms of pressure in my chest and shortness of breath and dizziness all at the same time, that was a good reason to go to the hospital.
Absolutely.
And as a consequence, a cardiac catheterization was done, and the camera looking in every chamber of my heart and looking at the arteries showed that there was no blockage anywhere, and the doctor said the heart function was good.
Praise God.
I give God the glory, and I thank him for that, but I want you to know that, in my opinion, you share some of that glory because you prayed.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Oh, you're welcome, Mark. Love you. Dismiss us in prayer. Amen.
God, there is not a one of us in this room who is good, except for you. And we pray that your goodness will shine through our many imperfections so that you will get the glory and we'll get the joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Dr. Daryl Ehrman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stuart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Hello, I'm Darrell Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart,
201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart, S-T-U-A-R-T, .org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished.